Curiosity Hacked has nothing to do with hacking necessarily. It's akin to the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, some of the programs it offers. Kids can learn and earn many different badges, basically within the STEM disciplines, which is science, technology, engineering, mathematics. There are some, you can get into textiles and many different things, but it's part of the what's called the maker or the make group, and kind of a movement of just getting out and exploring and breaking things and building things and seeing how things work. Well, we've been part of this, I don't know, for 6 months or so. For the past few months, part of this program we're working towards and part of a badge we're trying to work towards with the kids is to build some small circuit boards that will eventually interface with a computer. And the kids will learn to program on there and learn to do different things with whether they can, there's a potentiometer, there's different things they can, accelerometers, they can move the board around, do a lot of different experiments with this board. Well, everybody started this process with a blank board. It was built to put circuits on. It wasn't completely blank, but they started with a blank board and a handful of components. And week by week, we're giving each kid some of those components, and they start soldering them together, putting them into different sections of the board that they need to be. Now, this all sounds easy enough. Just put chips and resistors and transistors and things into spots and solder them. Sounds easy enough, but nobody knows what they're doing. You know, the adult mentors, including myself, are adept at soldering necessarily, and especially many of the kids aren't either. And to compound this issue, we're only there for a couple hours a week. So we come in, we kind of learn to solder on these little boards that we're hoping will pass all of the QA, QC tests we put them through and we're done. And that's it. We have a couple hours every week and we try to make these boards work. We try to solder the best we can. And we show up with anticipation every week trying to tackle some new little problem, and typically everybody ends up with some burnt fingers, some lowered expectations of what we hope to do and what actually might be happening with those boards we're working with. But you know, the whole purpose of this movement is to learn, maybe with some guidance, but to get in there, even if you break things, to figure out how to fix them. Start with these little boards, and by the time we're done, by the time we've hacked around and tried to get them to work over a month or two, hopefully they will, in fact, work and do what we want to. Well, our little section of kids, we are nearing completion of the first set of these boards. And the guy running this guild wanted to have a fix-it day this last week. For the most part, because as we've gone forward, there are a few kids that are really good at it, and many others, including our board, not saying it was my fault, but maybe it was, that have broken boards, that have soldered things incorrectly. Some kids have soldered things on the back of their board when it should be on the front. They've positioned things wrong. Things have broken. So the guy that's running this guild, he has great intentions. He just doesn't prepare at all. You know, we show up and we expect some instructions, and he hasn't printed them off yet. He doesn't really have much knowledge, but he's in there trying. He's trying to do the best he can, and he's a volunteer. He's trying to help get these kids exposed to something new, and he is. We're all trudging through this slowly but surely. Well, after spending a couple sessions the past few weeks of trying to fix kids' boards and kids breaking down, crying almost because they soldered the wrong parts on the wrong side of the boards, and me not having much luck, or any of the other dads having much luck, or some of the moms, of trying to get these boards fixed, this guy figured this week, like, well, we'll have a fix a day, and he will bring some new tools in. So we brought a heat gun in to try to fix our soldering issues, to desolder some stuff. The heat gun is a great tool. You can get them up cheaply at Harbor Freight. They're good in a lot of situations. In the situation of desoldering a board, it would fall into the category of get or done. A heat gun is not what you typically want to use to desolder a board, a small little board. So the guy, he brought it in to try to help us especially, but to fix the issue we were having. And he said, well, why don't I try this on a different board of a kid that didn't show up after a couple of weeks, and we'll see what happens. Well, he succeeded, surprisingly, in removing the solder, the contacts, the components, and melting the board itself. It literally went up in flames as I was watching him. And he actually, he said to me, he goes, well, I'll be more careful with your board. As I backed away, smiling, told him, you're not going to touch my board. It was the last minute, kind of spur of the moment fix to try to overcome this, some of these broken boards. Now, I worked with another Zed. We found actually a machine or a tool that removes solder. We took our time patiently. We tried for 2 weeks. We finally found a tool that, and we found out last week the tool is not even working. So we got one that was working, and we were able to fix my board and several other boards. Kids were happy. I was happy because I was worried we were going to have to start over. But, you know, fixing stuff in a rush like that, fixing stuff last minute with something that seems like it could work but might completely devastate things, cannot be relied on. It's nothing you can look forward to as being, and it could have worked. Maybe if he had known how to use a heat gun without starting things on fire, it could have worked properly. But we know you can, I've got to have some scriptures, got to have to talk about this, some religious things. Our spiritual life is very much like that too. If we try to fix everything that we are going through, if we slowly build up these problems and figure like, well, I'm just going to fix this. I'm going to come up to push as far as I can to the envelope of pushing God out of my life and then bring it back in. If we have that kind of mentality, disaster is going to befall us as well. We are going to ruin this body, this spiritual vessel, or this vessel that's carrying God's spirit. We're going to ruin it, enable it to not, to singe it, to not be able to hold God's Holy Spirit. You know, the Passover is approaching, as we are all aware, and we are required to go before God to take this Passover in the correct mindset, with the correct heart, not in a hurried way, not in a last-minute ditch effort to try to fix things. But, you know, if we're looking at our calendars thinking, 3 weeks till Passover, I better get her done quick. 1 week till Passover, I really need to get her done quick. I need to get good with God. I need to get my relationship back on track. It's been a year since I've gotten serious. If that's kind of the mentality we have, then we're doing it wrong. We're not succeeding in building up this vessel to hold God's Holy Spirit. You know, we know our spiritual lives are a constant ebb and flow. When we find ourselves being drawn away from God because of our own desires, because of our, what we're seeking to ourselves, we have to seek to draw closer back to Him. The further we get away, the greater our course correction must be to get back in line with Him, to get back closer to Him. You know, if we turn aside too far, no amount of last-minute corrections are going to get us back on our path. You know, our spiritual life, and not to pick on Wisconsin, but I will, is like driving on a cold, wintry road in Wisconsin. Another analogy. If you've been out there, you know there's usually a couple grooves down that road that are safe to drive on, and it seems like the hard pack stays forever. Now, outside of those grooves is hard pack ice. Certain death if you go off into the ditch. Because if you're in Wisconsin and the speed limit is 65 and it's middle of the winter on hard pack ice, you're going 65. Slow speeds are for Southerners. Everybody in Wisconsin ignores recommended speeds when it's really bad out. Because you've got those paths, you've got those grooves you can follow. When you start finding yourself drifting out of those grooves, it's the small course corrections that keep you alive, keep you going to the next inn. Drastic corrections on that kind of a condition always lead you into trouble because they aren't sustainable. You know, the more you weave in and out of control, the more you try to course correct, trying to keep down on that safe path, that safe two grooves that will keep you going towards God, the more you get out of control of that, out of the safety of God's path, the more likely you are to not be able to get back on it. And if you're waiting, like I said, all year to get back close to God during this Passover season, well, chances are that closeness that you're trying to develop, that closeness you think you come to right before the Passover, before you take that commitment again, is probably not going to sustain you. It's probably not going to give you the spiritual growth that you need to continue on in this lifestyle, to continue on and stay in this path. 1 Thessalonians 5, we can see why, maybe one reason why, that kind of course correction in our spiritual life does not work, does not last. 1 Thessalonians 5, and starting at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfect that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Speaking to us, we know, brethren, that God's return is coming. So why do we have that? Is it so easy to get into that mentality of fixing things at the end? For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That's one of the keys. Not allowing ourselves to get so far out of control we can't correct ourselves, can't get back on this path. To watch, to stay steady on this path, this drive we're taking. You know, slow and steady growth begins not at the end of the race. Slow and steady growth builds and begins every day of our lives. That kind of growth gives us the tools that we need, that are necessary, not just to stay on task, which is our striving and our seeking of the kingdom of God, but it helps us to build a foundation that will give us a relationship with God to the point that we don't need to cram for the exam at the last minute in order to get back on track with our Father. You know, we are prepared, or we have to be prepared at all times to answer before God. Luke 12, starting in verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and you and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money, bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven, in heavens does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You know, the stamina to retain in this state of readiness is necessary if we truly want to be part of God's family. But it's also one of the most difficult things as being part of a Christian. And that's remaining, keeping that stamina. And in fact, not just stagnating in that state, but growing. Having the stamina to day in, day out, draw closer to God and continue, progress through that ideal. You know, Paul gives us insight on one way that we can retain that readiness. It's actually quite easy to sustain. Philippians 3. To show us how that we can stay on track. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. The CEB Bible translates it thus. So then, my brothers and sisters, be glad in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to repeat the same things to you because they will help keep you on track. Brethren, keep doing what we already know how to do. Keep doing what we continually are doing. Don't give up after that. Day after day, what we are doing forms habits. Day after day, what we are doing forms a lifestyle. Eventually, letting us into, forming us into the body and the family of God.